Well, today is my pleasure to kind of introduce my fellow elder, Kenny. He's got a word in his heart to share. Yeah, give him a hand.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Bless you, man. Thank you. Man, we're a big auditorium, eh? And I was just wondering if we could all fill these front seats. We've got amazing seats at the front here. And we'd just like to ask if you could all just come down, as many as possible, just come and fill these seats in the front. Can we do that this morning? Oh, the scene is up. Good. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I was just thinking about, you know, during that worship time. And, you know, I was just thinking this morning as we were praying as well of that. Amen. Just thinking of just how much of the presence of God can we actually handle? You know, and it's a real question. It's a real question because it's a real thing. You know, we you know, we have all these cliches and in Christianity and you know, when we see God do what He wants to do, it gives us context of His. It gives the word context. And so I'm really glad that we're a part of a church that prays that honors the Lord. I'm really glad that we're a part of a church that worships God, the one and true living God. And I'm really glad that we're a part of a church who has always emphasized prayer and worship and the Word of God. Amen. The teaching of the Word. And I pray that in coming seasons, that will only intensify, amen. That will only intensify even to a greater level and a greater intensity of God's presence and of God's Holy Spirit, amen. And so I'm really excited to be a part of this church. We've been a part of this church for the last 34 years. It's not a long time compared to some of our older folk here. But I'm here because of the grace of God. We're here because of the grace of God, as I've mentioned before. A couple of weeks ago, I shared about prayer. A few weeks ago, actually, I shared about prayer in the church. You and I praying, and just how important prayer is to the believer. Amen. How many of you believe that prayer is important? How many of you believe that prayer is essential for every believer that believes in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So that's most of us. That's most of us. And so I just want to encourage us, you know, like this morning, that if you're praying, to continue to pray. Continue to pray. Not necessarily about anything specific, but just to pray to keep yourself open to God. And you know, I'm very thankful that when I came to Jesus, and you know, we had guys who were discipling us in the faith. We're very young Christians and just excited to be in the house of God, excited to be saved, and excited as to what God had for us in the future. And I'm very thankful, very very thankful that we had guys who discipled us, who encouraged us in worship, and encouraged us in prayer, and encouraged us to read the Word of God and to study it. And you know, I always think about that. I always think about just how grateful I am to the people that discipled us, and the different ones in the body, and the different ones in the church and VCC, and those in the days where we came to the Lord. Just how important prayer was for us. And how important worship was, because I believe that worship and prayer go hand in hand. Amen? How many of you believe that? How many believe that prayer and worship go hand in hand? And that's something I learned to do. You know, I was we were very young believers, but I just took their word for it. I took their word for it. I was we were so hungry. We were so hungry that we that we took every word, we sat on every word. And when they said, you know, to worship God and to pray, that's exactly what we did. That's exactly what we did. We went in and we practiced it. And as the years went by, this whole thing around worship and prayer began to intensify more and more and more. And I just want to thank God for those who discipled us in that way. Praying is not the easiest thing to do. How many of you find praying is not the easiest thing to do? Yeah, it's not the easiest thing to do. You know, the first thing in the morning is, you know, they say that the first thing in the morning is usually not the first thing you want to do. And usually the first thing in the morning is that we should be praying. You and I should be praying, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning. Oh, I got up at 5:30 this morning. And I tell you what, you know, it's not an easy thing. Sometimes you've got to get up and you've got to walk around a bit. You've got to make yourself a cup of coffee. You've got to open the window to let some air in. And you've got to almost sort of wake up before you actually get into the prayer. How many of you are like that? Oh, okay. Must be me then. Must be just me and Claire. But prayer is something that we have to learn to engage in. Amen. Prayer is something that we all have to learn, and that we all have to discipline ourselves in prayer. And everybody says, yeah, and that we should never ever feel bad. We should never ever feel bad. We should never condemn ourselves every time it's hard to pray. Because it is hard to pray. It is hard to pray. It is hard to pray when things are happening in your life. It is hard to pray when circumstances and issues and problems, you know, and you've had an argument with the missus, and your kids are rebelling towards you, and they're talking back at you, and you know, and all sorts of stuff. All these things and everyday life happens. And it's really hard to pray and get those things off your mind before you come to God and start praying. And so I just want to be absolutely real with you this morning about just what prayer is and what it means to you and I as believers. And in James, one of the encouraging scriptures I have, if you've got your Bibles with you, one of the most encouraging scriptures that I always think about is found in James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I'll just read those two scriptures. In verse 16, it says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Let me just say that again, that the prayer of a righteous person is what? Is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person, the prayer of a righteous man, or the prayer of a righteous woman is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being. This is the part I like. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Even as we are. So he's talking about the prophet Elijah. How he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. That's the kind of prayer. That's the kind of prayer that you want to engage in. Amen? Amen, church? Come on, give me a response. Give me a good response, you know? That's the kind of prayer that I believe that God is calling you and I into. That kind of prayer. The person that is righteous, their prayers are effective and powerful. Now let me just define the word effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Let me just tell you what some of the words describe effective. Effective means successful, effectual, efficacious, productive, constructive, fruitful, functional, potent, powerful, worthwhile, helpful of help, of assistance, beneficial, advantageous, valuable, and useful of use. Wow! That's our prayer. That's our prayer, that when we engage God in prayer, like that of Elijah. Now remember, Elijah was no. What the scripture is saying is that Elijah was not a superhero, so to speak. He wasn't dressed in a robe, and leotards, and he didn't have a cape, and he didn't wear a mask. He was a human being, just like you and me. Amen. Everybody say, just like you and me. Just like you and me. The prophets of old were just like you and me. And they experienced the same weaknesses and the same issues that we face today. So there's nothing new. There's nothing new today. And it says that Elijah was a human being. He was flesh and blood, just like you. And he got tired, and there were times when he felt weak, and he felt frustrated, and he felt alone, just like you and me. But it says there in verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being just as we are, just like us, just like us. We don't like to pray, but it's essential that we pray. We prayed earnestly. Now let me just define the word earnestly. Because I'm not much of an academic, you see. So I need the dictionary to define words for me. Earnestly. He prayed earnestly. Means seriously, solemnly, gravely, soberly, sincerely, intently, resolutely, firmly, ardently, fervently, warmly, keenly, eagerly, intensive, and zealously. That was the prayer. That was the prayer of Elijah. That was the attitude that he had in prayer. Amen? That was the attitude he had in prayer. It was earnest. And that was the reason why it was so effective. That's the reason why it was so effective. Because it was intent. It was with intent. It was intentional. And he knew exactly how to move the heart of God. He knew how to move the heart of God. And we need that. We need that same intensity and earnest attitude in our prayers today. Everybody say amen. Amen. That's good. That's good preaching. may I just say so myself? But the prayer of a righteous person. The prayer of a righteous person. Who's righteous in here? Every single one of us is righteous because of Jesus. So this scripture is talking about each and every one of us. That we are to be earnest in our attitude as we approach God in prayer. And He rewards the earnest attitude of our hearts. Amen? He rewards, He loves it. He loves the earnest and fervent prayer as we come to Him in prayer. And it says, Elijah was a human being as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for how long? For 3.5 years it didn't rain. Imagine that, praying and stopping the weather, stopping the rain for 3.5 years. That is amazing. That is amazing. That is amazing. And all it took was the prayer of a righteous person. Come on, folks. Come on. Come on. All it took was the prayer of a righteous person because his prayer was effective. His prayer was fervent. His prayer was earnest. And then it stopped raining for 3.5 years. And then it says, again he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. I want to tell you today, folks, I want to tell you something today, something that we probably all know, but we quite often forget, that the enemy, the devil, absolutely hates prayer. I can't tell you enough just how badly the devil hates it when you and I pray. We need to get that into our hearts this morning. We need to get that into our heads. I want to say it again, that the devil absolutely hates prayer. He hates it when you and I get up. At any point, at any time we start praying, he absolutely hates it. You know why he hates it? You know why he hates it, folks? He knows that prayer is the most destructive and the most dangerous weapon against the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I'm excited about what I just said there. I'm excited. He knows that the prayer of the righteous person is the most destructive and the most dangerous weapon that we have against the kingdom of darkness. We got to get that into our heads, man. Because you know, one of the things that motivates me to pray, one of the few things that motivates me to pray is what? Is to know that the devil absolutely hates it. Not only does my flesh hate it, not only does my flesh dislike prayer, but the devil absolutely hates it because he knows he's in trouble. He knows he's in trouble, and I've got a testimony. In 2019, I quite often share about 2019, how I had this encounter with Yeshua Jesus. It was the most remarkable experience for me that I've ever had, besides being saved back in 1989. 30 years later, I have this encounter with Jesus, and it absolutely changes my world, changes my view, changes my perspective, tips me upside down, shakes me, turns me around, and turns me inside out. And it just messes with me in 2019. And it was so wacky, it was so intense, this encounter that I had with Jesus, that all I wanted to do was pray. I was praying in the morning. I was praying in the afternoon. I was praying in the evening. I was praying overnight into the day. And I was praying and I was praying and I was praying. And look, I'm not trying to say how cool I was praying. I just had this encounter. I just had this crazy encounter with Jesus. And all I wanted to do was pray. And I would get up in the morning, no matter what time it was, whether it was 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, I would just get up and pray. And I tell you what, the power of God was so intense in me that I'd just get up. Wasn't even tired. I didn't even experience tiredness. And I'd get up and I'd just pray and pray in tongues. Pray and pray in tongues. And I'd stay up. I'd stay up. I'd stay up all morning praying. Stay up all morning and praying. Go to the gym. Do what I had to do. Get in my car. Come back. Go to work, driving around, and I'm just praying all the time. And I prayed so much. I prayed so much. It wasn't funny. I prayed so much that one morning, guess what? A demonic spirit came to my face. I saw the demonic spirit that came to my face. It was a hideous creature. You know what he said to me? He said, "Stop praying." He comes up to me that morning and he says, "Stop praying." You know what I did? I rebuked the devil and I kept praying. It says, "Resist the devil and he shall flee." That's exactly what I did. I told him to get out. You have no right being here. And he went straight away. Guess what I started doing again? I just kept praying and I just kept praying. And look, I didn't even pray in English. I wasn't even praying in English. But he came to me that morning and he told me to be quiet, stop praying. Was I intimidated? I don't know. Was I scared? Absolutely not. But I told him to go, get lost, and I kept praying. We've got to understand the power that we have. We've got to understand. You and I as Christians have to understand what we carry. We've got to understand what prayer really means to God and what it really means to the enemy. It is destructive and it is dangerous against the kingdom of darkness. Say amen to that. Amen. Amen. So if it's destructive and if it's dangerous toward the kingdom of God, guess what more we should be doing? Watching more movies? Watching more footy games? Nothing wrong with that, of course. But I would rather, let me tell you something. This is the honest truth. I used to be an avid supporter of the Brisbane Broncos Rugby League Club. I used to wear my jersey when I used to watch a game. I even bought me socks and a hat and a jersey. And I used to watch footy religiously. Right up until the point that I had that encounter. You can ask my wife this. This is proof. I lost interest in rugby league. I lost interest in supporting any team. Why? Because my encounter with Jesus was so far greater than any footy team in the world. Yeah. And so instead of watching a footy game, guess what I did? I went to the room and I started praying. And I just prayed and prayed. Didn't even know what I was saying. I was just praying in tongues all the time. And what the remarkable thing is during that period was that I had so much revelation. I had more revelation in from between 2019 to now than what I've ever did, what I ever had in the last previous 30 years of my Christian journey. That's how important it was to me. And I spent the next 18 months every morning. Getting up, praying. Whether it was worship, whether it was prayer, whether it was in the Word, I'd be praying every single day. Every single day for the next 18 months. Intense prayer. So I want to encourage us just how important prayer is to the devil. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26, one of my favorite scriptures. Romans 8:26. Stay with me, church. Nearly there. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Amen? In the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. Amen? But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through words. We heard it this morning. Through words, through wordless groans or utterances that cannot be explained. There you go. There was the context. This is the word. Here was the context here this morning. We were praying with utterances that cannot be explained. Words that cannot be uttered. Things that only the Spirit understands, church. Things, the words and things that only the Spirit of God can understand. And here we are engaging in worship and prayer and speaking out all sorts of mysteries and things and words that only the Holy Spirit understands. Amen. I'm so glad about that. You know, it's easy to come with an agenda. Hey, it's easy to come to God with an agenda. Lord, I want a car, I want a house, I want this, I want that, I want that. And he's all good with that sort of stuff. But we must prioritize praying in the Spirit. We must prioritize prayer in the Spirit. We must prioritize praying in tongues and speaking in tongues all day, every day. Some of us pray in our sleep. Rebuking demons in our sleep. Amen. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 just says, rejoice always and pray continually. Amen. It says, pray without ceasing. Amen. This is in 1 Thessalonians. Are you with me? Amen. That's good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, rejoice always. Pray, in the NIV it says, pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. Now, pray continually. Now, continually means frequently. Pray frequently. Pray as often as you can. Pray regularly. Pray repeatedly, recurrently, again and again, time and time again. This is how we should pray. This is when we ought to pray. Eh? It says continually praying, frequently. How frequent is frequently? Very often. Round the clock, day and night, night and day. Whoa. Yeah. Amen. Constantly, continuously, round the clock, day and night, night and day, morning, noon and night, without a break, nonstop, all the time, the entire time, always, forever, and every turn. Wow. Incessantly, ceaselessly, endlessly, perpetually, eternally. Wow. Wow, there you go. There you go. There you go. That's how often we should pray. Day and night, night and day, round the clock, all the time. I got so tired of praying that I felt my jaw was going to fall off. I just prayed so often. I had to tell myself to shut up. But this is how we are. This is how often we ought to pray, folks. All the time, around the clock, night and day, day and night, as often as we remember to pray. Not just when we're giving thanks for our food. Not just when we're looking for car parks in the car park. Eh? Eh? But all the time, fervently, intensely, praying, earnestly, all the time, round the clock, night and day, day and night. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than that, folks. He's saying, pray around the clock, pray all the time, pray all the time. Oh, wow. And I tell you what, you actually have more energy when you're praying. You actually end up with more energy and more fervency in your life. You know? Have you experienced that? I had more energy. You know, I was getting up whatever time in the morning, any time between 3 and 6, right? I'd get up. I'd go to do what I have to do. I'll go to work, come back. And I won't go to bed until I'm actually supposed to go to bed that night. And then I'll do the whole same thing around the clock again. And I had more energy. I had more energy. And I just felt like God was just like, boom. He was feeding this fire that was burning, didn't he? Hey? You get tired, man. Go and pray. Get tired, go and pray. And God was just feeding this fire. It was burning uncontrollably at times. My wife had to tell me to shut up sometimes. You know, it was just getting out of control. It was getting all, you know, But it was so intense. So intense. And I want to encourage us this morning. I had another experience one of those mornings as I was praying. And I sat up and I prayed and I was quiet for a bit. I was quiet for a few minutes. And the Lord gives me a picture in my head. You know what I see? I see... I see atomic explosions. Have you ever seen a meme or a GIF with an atomic explosion? Have you ever seen a bomb go off? And I saw all these different, in different areas. I don't know where I was, but I just saw, I started seeing all these bombs going off, all these explosions, these massive explosions here, there, and one here and one there. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is this? What is this, Lord? You know what he said to me? He said, that's the impact your prayers are having on the darkness. That's the impact of our prayers, church. You may not see the impact you're having, but you're having an impact. We don't have to see it to believe it. We know by faith. We know by faith that we're having an impact in the kingdom of darkness because we're praying earnestly and fervently, day after day after day, all night, all day, noon, round the clock. Round the clock. And it just getting intensified. You know what? The last thing on my mind, as that 18 months, I tell you no lie, the last thing on my mind was my flesh, was sin, and the devil. The last thing on my mind was the flesh. Because the flesh can't reign where the spirit rules. That's the last thing on my mind was my flesh. And was the devil. The last thing in sin was the last thing on my mind. It got so intense that I almost forgot that the devil existed. Because I felt so free. I felt so free and I didn't care about anything. And people thought I was going wacky, and you know, of course. People probably thought we were wacky this morning. That's all right. That's all right. We'll do God. We'll go with God. We'll go with God. But the flesh could not control me because the Spirit of God was so intense. And it was intensifying every time I got up to pray. Are you with me, church? Are you with me? This is an experience that we can all have. You're probably having these experiences already. But I'm just saying is that you know, this is not just words on the Bible. This is not just words on the page. This is a living word. This is a living word. God is living. God is living and His word is alive. His word is alive and His word becomes flesh. His word became flesh to me. His word became living and alive in me. And I couldn't explain it. I couldn't label it. Just that it was just out of my mind. I was out of my mind. I was out of my mind to the glory of God. Amen. That's what Paul says. Hey? When I'm out of my mind and out of my body, what does he say? He says, it's to the glory of God. But when I'm in my right mind and in my body, it's to the glory of man. Read it. It's crazy. It's crazy. Amen, church. He's still there. He's still there. He's still with me. So prayer builds faith. Prayer takes faith. Prayer requires faith. Intense prayer. Intense and fervent prayer, meaningful prayer, takes faith. I want you to turn to, I'm nearly there, guys. Jude 1:20, great, great scripture, excellent scripture. But you, dear friends, by building up yourselves in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, amen. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus, so bring you to eternal life. Amen. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray as often as you can, but pray in the Spirit, as we heard before. That He knows the mind of the Jesus knows. God knows the mind of the Spirit. So He knows exactly what He's praying through us. I'm going to hurry along. Luke 21, another good scripture, another really awesome scripture. The words of Jesus. Luke 21, you going there? Awesome passage of scripture. This is like the equivalent to Matthew 24. But Luke 21, it says, wow, Jesus, you know what? Jesus is the man. He is absolutely on fire. Oh, man, I tell you, man, when you see Jesus, you just can't explain it. There's no words to explain what he is and what he does and who, you know. It's Okay, I'll start reading from verse 20. Luke 21, verse 20. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea... Sorry. Luke 21. Sorry, guys. Luke 21, reading from verse 32. It says, truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Verse 34, it says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with what? With carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. Amen. We take heed, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with the carousing, drunkenness and anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. And what does he say in verse 36? He says, be always on the watch. And what? And pray. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen on the earth. How many, you watch the news, eh? You watch the social media. You see how many people are, you know, just the world, people and nations around the world. Anxiety and stress over things like global warming and climate change. You know, I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but you know, we all have our thoughts on that sort of stuff. But there's just so much anxiety across the world and people that you speak to on a day-to-day basis. How many people are talking about the stress of life? Oh, I've got bills, and I've got this, and I've got the kids there, and you know, my mom and this, and you know, my family are trying to take control of my life, and blah blah blah, and you know, it's easier to be overcome by the stresses and the anxieties of life. It is, right? It is, and we all face them. But Jesus says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with the carousing and the drunkenness. Let's not be drunk. Let's be sober. He says in another scripture, be sober. Let's be sober. Watch and pray. The anxiety of life, that day will close on you like a sudden trap. For it will come on all of those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to what? To stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray. Why? Because there's coming a time when you and I will have to present ourselves before the Son of God, the Messiah. And you and I will have to give an account of everything that we have done. Based on our works, we will be judged. Amen? So let's be sober. Let's be sober in this time. Let's be sober and watch and pray the things that are unfolding in our society, things that are unfolding and internationally on the globe, on the earth. It is just remarkable, just the things that are going on. And people are getting caught up. people are getting caught up in the anxieties of life. And he says, watch and pray. Watch and pray so that you may be able to present yourselves to the Son of Man when he appears. Amen. Luke 21, 34. Oh, we just read that scripture. Matthew 26, 41. Matthew 26, 41. Almost there, almost there. Coming down the home straight now. Racing now. I used to do that when I was young. Racing now and Gamaliel taking a lead and the meter and a half behind his delightful lady. You know, because we used to be able to. My dad used to bet big time. My dad was a big, you know, horse racing fanatic. You know, my dad, or every time you see my dad on the weekends, he'd always have his radio to his ear. You know, remember the little black transistor radios? He'd be lying there on the couch, and all he could hear was, racing now, and Gamaliel taking a little lead, and a meter and a half behind his delightful lady, and Gamaliel coming in closely, finally coming down the home straight now. God bless my dad, he's in heaven now. Probably horse racing up there now too. He's actually riding on the horse. Amen, amen, amen. 26:41, Matthew 26:41, he says, Jesus in the garden, he says, watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Ladies and gentlemen, we are always going to battle with our flesh. We are always going to be in contention with our flesh. Always. But let's not give in to the flesh. Let's submit and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. Amen? Let's yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. Because greater is He that is in us. Greater is He that is in us. The Holy Spirit is something else. And I tell you, when He gets a hold of us, when He gets a hold of you and I tell you, man, everything is so easy. Everything is so easy. And you begin to see things from a totally different perspective. Amen. Colossians 4:2. Another scripture. I just want to fire these scriptures, you know. Colossians 4:2. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer. Amen. Already mentioned that today. Amen. Can we have the worship team come up this morning? So I want to encourage you, church, this morning. I want to encourage you and just to say that prayer is necessary and prayer is so vitally important to your faith and to my faith. Amen. One of the things that one of the people in the Bible, one of the prophets in the Bible that I really was encouraged by as a young believer was Daniel, the prophet Daniel. Who likes Daniel? Yeah. And Daniel was a very prayerful prophet. Amen. He was a very prayerful prophet. And you know, remember the king put out a law that no one was to pray. No one was to pray to their God. And and what does Daniel do? Daniel does the total opposite of what the king ordered. And what does Daniel do? He goes home and he opens the windows. And people, spies can see him praying. And there Daniel is, just before the Lord, praying. And one of the scriptures that always encouraged me about Daniel. Was in Daniel chapter 9, verse 10. It's just one very quick verse, or, you know, Daniel 9, verse 23. And as you know, Angel Gabriel appeared. Was it Gabriel? The angel appeared to Daniel after he had prayed and prayed. And this is what the angel says to Daniel when he appeared to him. He says, as soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. And the thing that really spoke to me when I first read that scripture, way back in 1991, was the angel said, as soon as you began to pray, as soon as you set your heart and mind to pray, the angel was released. The angel was commissioned. And I want to encourage you this morning. You know, in 1991, I don't know, I'm talking a lot about our lives, but I just felt that it was really important for me to share this. And back in 1991, we were very young Christians, you know. We had got saved in November 1989, and we were in a training team, a young training team for young believers in 1990. So we lived in the church not long after we were married. We lived in the church for 3 months. And after those 3 months, we went to work and we, you know, and got a job. And then the Lord spoke to me later that year and said, I want you in the Joshua team. He specifically came to me in a dream and said to me, I want you in the Joshua team. Now, the Joshua team was made up of about 12 of us, 12 people. And, you know, different ones from different backgrounds, all within the church, mostly young people. And so my wife and I, Violetta and I, were called into this team. And it was confirmed by Pastor Rick back then, who was the pastor of the church. And he came to me personally and said, asked me if we could, if we would live in the church. Now that training would be for an entire year, from the 1st of January, or actually no, from the 3rd of Jan to the 31st of December of 1991. Please bear with me. The training meant that we had to come back and live in the church, and we did. We lived in one of the rooms way back in the corner there. Back in 1991, there was a lot of people in the church at that time. And so God called us into this training. And now the training was like the army. The training was like the army. And our days started at 5:30 in the morning with physical exercise, daily devotions, and breakfast as a team, and blah, blah, blah. And then we did a whole year of Bible college. And we used to have a Bible college that used to operate here called ACHIM. And so we said yes in obedience to God. We said yes, we would. And we you know, Elijah, my son Elijah here, was only just barely born. And so we decided that we would obey the Lord, and God, by His grace, we came in. We came into the church and we lived here. Our day started at 5:30. But I had purposed in my heart, that I would seek the Lord beyond the hours of our training. And so what I did was, I got up an hour earlier. And every morning of that year, I rose at 4:30 in the morning because I wanted to get my personal prayer time in with the Lord. And so what I did was I purposed in my heart. And I said, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. In 1991, throughout that whole year, I prayed. I was actually in one of the side doors. I mean, there's another exit beyond this one. But I used to go into that exit every morning. You can ask my wife. I used to go into that room, into that exit every morning at 4:30 in 1991, and I would pray, and I would seek the Lord, whether it was worship, whether it was prayer, but it was mostly prayer. and was praying in tongues and just, you know, just giving myself to God. Giving myself to God, and I committed myself to Him. And I devoted that time. And I said, this time is going to be for the Lord. Now, a lot of things happened during that year. Training was hard, and you know, particularly with a young family. Particularly with a young family, you've just been married. And you know, we're only, what, 20 years of age? 20 years of age. With a young child. And just freshly, newly married, you know. And I was I was in my spiritual nappies, you know. But I set myself and my heart to pray. And I prayed every day. I prayed every day. I got it, no matter. And sometimes our days would finish at 11, 11:30 at night. But I knew that every morning I was to get up and seek the Lord. And I did. So we spent the whole year in training, and it had its ups and downs, because you know, living with other young people and you know, with your child, it's not easy. It's just not easy. You know? It's like going on the mission field. You think the mission field is glamorous? There is absolutely nothing glamorous about the mission field. It is hard work. And so being in this training was the same. It felt the same. And we were going out in ministry and evangelizing and street preaching and all this sort of stuff. And then we'd have the youth meetings down in the old admin hall down there that used to be there. Remember the old admin hall? And we packed out that youth hall. We used to pack out that admin hall. We had so many young people. We used to have outreaches in the city, and you know, this was just our lives. Our lives were just caught up in this, you know. And anyway, so the end of 1991, we finished the training. And during 1991, there was a scripture that came that God had somehow just pressed on my heart. And it was in Psalm 55. And, you know, it was just a day where I just, you know, I'd be reading the Bible, and I just came across the scripture, and something in this psalm just stuck with me, and I don't even know why. And it says in Psalm 55, and this is what it says. It says, "Oh, I said, oh that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm." And that was the verse. And you know, we went through training, and towards the end of that year, this verse was stuck with me. I couldn't get it out of my head. I couldn't get it out of my spirit. It was there, and it was just in my head and in my spirit. 1992. Beginning of 1992, after we had completed the training, the beginning of 1992, I get a call. We had moved out. We got a place. We were renting a place out in West Auckland. And at the beginning of 1992, I get a call from Timothy Chia, of all people. Remember Timothy Chia, anyone? Yeah. He's a little Asian man. He's on fire for God. And he calls me and he says, "Kenny, Pastor Kenny." He called me pastor. I said, "They call me pastor, bro. I'm not a pastor." They said, "Pastor Kenny, I want, you know, Pastor Rick is, I've talked to Pastor Rick, and I want you and Violetta and your son Elijah to go over to Africa, to Uganda." Wow. I was like, "Hey." So anyway, you know, there's a lot of background to this. There's a lot of background, but I'm just sharing just what you know, for the sake of time. There was a lot happened, and so he rings me up, and he basically asks us that if we could go to Uganda and join Jackie Legg, who's the sister of Max, and to join the team. And one of June Hall's daughters is there, Melita, hey, and so we got ourselves ready. We prepared ourselves. You know, and it was just a real sort of thing that was like, it was just the absolute unknown. Remember, we're just 20 years of age. We're young. We got a young child, you know. And so we just believe God. We just believe God. And I remember even writing a song during, we wrote a song during that time just to kind of give us some sort of sense of, you know, of His presence and what He was calling us to. And so we were supposed to, you know, we were going there knowing that we would be there for 5 years, but for a minimum of 2 years. 5 years in Africa. And I was, you know, all these things are going through my head, and I think, wow, that's a long time to be away from my mum and dad. I've never been away that far away from my parents before, you know. And so so cut a long story short, we eventually, and I think it was August of 1992, we boarded an aircraft and we flew to Africa, to Uganda. And so we were in Uganda, and about 2 months later, now, I just want to say this, that there was a lot of stuff happening in the church at that time. There was a lot of stuff that wasn't good. A lot of stuff that wasn't that you wouldn't wish on a congregation, and a lot of that stuff was happening in the church, and we were just being obedient to the word of God, and so we moved in faith, and we flew to Africa in faith, and about 2 months later, we start getting letters from people, young people in the youth group, and. You know, you have to go check the mail, because we didn't have social media, we didn't have phones, you know, people messaging us. We'd get the mail, so someone had to go to town, get the mail and come back. And so we got our mail that day, and we started reading these letters. And what we read wasn't encouraging at all. That so many of our young people in our youth group were just backsliding, leaving the faith, leaving the church, you know, and just going back to, you know, doing, you know, the drinking and going back to the nightclubs and all this sort of stuff. And so this happened over a period of about 5 months. We just kept getting letters from different ones and trying to explain what was happening. So, you know, I didn't know what to make of it, and I didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. I was still getting up in the morning and crying for my parents because I missed my parents so much. You know, honestly, I'd be crying for my mom. I want my mom. But it was real. It was real. You know, it was real. And it was really happening. And so one morning, I think it was probably about 3 months, I can't really remember, but I remember about 3 months into our stay in Uganda, God spoke to me one morning very clearly, and He said to me, "You will not be here for long. You will not be here for long." And as soon as I heard that, I woke my wife up. I woke up Valera, and I said, Han, the Lord just spoke to me." Yeah, what did He say? He goes, "He said we're not going to be here for long." He goes, "Oh, okay." And then she rolled over and went to sleep. But it was so clear. It was so clear to me that the Lord wasn't going to keep us there for that long. And eventually we came back after many trials and tribulations. My wife was in a highway robbery, held up with submachine guns from all these ex-military guys. And we had, our passports had been taken by these guys. So there was no way we were, you know, like I was thinking, "Lord, these guys have just taken our passports. How on earth are we going to get home?" But eventually, by the grace of God, someone knew somebody, and this is how it works in Uganda, someone knew somebody that knew somebody in a high position, and they knew the guys who took those passports. And guess what happened? In a matter of weeks, we had our passports back. We had our passports back. It's a miracle. They got held up in the middle of nowhere. You know? Held at gunpoint. And here, our passports have gone. And I'm just thinking, Oh, well, there goes our early trip back home. But miraculously enough, we got our passports back. And then we ended up coming back home. Most of our friends had gone. Most of our youth friends had gone. And many people had already left the church. Why am I sharing that with you? It's because 1991, I had set my heart to pray. And there was much revelation that came to me concerning our lives and our future. And I believe that if I had not set my heart to pray in 1991, there is a very good chance that we would not have been here today. Because that dove, the wings of that dove, were the wings on that aircraft that took us away. Listen, that took us away from the storm that was coming and sheltered us in Uganda, in East Africa, the pearl of Africa. So he sheltered us and protected us from the storm that was about to blow up here. And I'm so very grateful. We are so very grateful that the Lord heard our prayer. I had no idea what I was praying in that year, in that 12 months of committing myself in prayer to God. But I knew it had something to do with our future and our protection. Amen. Why don't you stand up this morning? Why don't you stand up this morning, church? God is a good God. Amen. God is a good God. And as we heard this morning, Patrick saying, this is the Lord's house. And I want to encourage you today that you may not have a prayer time established. You may not be established in prayer. You may not have a prayer time happening. You may not have a prayer closet where you frequently go in and pray to the Lord, where you would frequently go and find and seek Him in that place. But I want to encourage you this morning. What I've shared this morning is absolutely true. It's absolutely true that if I had not spent that time and had not committed myself to prayer and seeking the Lord's face, that one year of our lives, we probably wouldn't be here today. I don't know what your future holds. Only God knows. You don't know what your future holds. But I know that God's plans for you are good. They are good plans. They are excellent plans. They are plans that will cause you to thrive. To thrive. We're going to thrive, church. We're going to thrive. We're going to thrive. But we need to set our hearts to prayer. We need to set our hearts and our focus on Jesus today. We need to set our hearts and our focus on Jesus today. Not ourselves. Not on ourselves. Not on ourselves. We'll fail every time. We'll fail every time. But we need to keep our hearts and our minds focused on who Jesus is. On who Jesus is. Because you don't know what the future holds. I don't know what the future holds. But all I know is that the future is good and that I need to engage God in prayer, in my prayer closet, and seek His face. Because He wants to fulfill His plans in your life. Amen? Amen, church? So I want to ask you this morning, if that's you this morning, if that's you today, if you're looking for a place where you can say, Lord, this is my place. This is my secret place with you. This is my prayer closet with you. I'm going to find you. I'm going to seek you with all my heart in this place. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray fervently with intention. And I'm going to see you high and lifted. If that's you this morning, I want you to come. I want you to come. And I want you to come on the altar of your heart and respond to this message. Respond to this word. Because it's a really important one. Because one of the areas that the devil will attack any church is the prayer. is the prayer. He will attack the prayer. And if he can dismantle the prayer, he'll dismantle the church. Because the prayer is the life of any congregation. Prayer and worship is the life of any congregation. And we need to respond. We need to respond to His voice and say, yes, 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 I'm coming after you, Jesus. I'm coming for you. Because you're the only thing that's worth living for in this time. You have my future planned out for me. So I'm going to set my heart and mind and my focus upon you and you alone. Amen, church. Why don't we sing a song? And if you're here this morning, why don't you just come? Why don't you just come on your own free will? Come in and commit yourself. Commit yourself in prayer to the living and one true God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you, Patrick.